Hallelujah. I want you to go with me this morning in your Bibles to 2 Chronicles chapter 7. 2 Chronicles chapter 7. And before we look at the Word of God, I want to visit with you a little bit pastorally, because there isn't a person on the face of the globe that has been where we are today as far as history. As far as what's going on here in our world and the unprecedented things that are happening, there's not one person on the face of the globe that's been where we are. It's good in one way, because God said, I'm going to do a new thing. And if this is what it takes in our world for God to do a new thing, I'm ready. So somebody answer me back out there online. Say, I'm ready. Hallelujah. I'm ready. I have a lot of mixed things that go through my heart right now. One of them is excitement. I'm excited because these are the last days of time. I'm excited because the rapture of the church could happen at any time. The sounding of the trumpet of the Lord and the dead in Christ rising first, and then we who are alive and remain being caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. It's a great day, but it's also a great day of harvest. I'm excited that it's a time and a season where people are running to God. They're running to God. Yesterday at my house, I had the doorbell rang. My wife answered. It was someone whom we had known, and invited them in. And they were moved upon and convicted about the fact that they needed to get right with God, and that people needed to hear the word and about the rapture, because those are the days in which we live. People are hungry. Now, I'm also excited because this is an authoritative time. This is an authoritative time where we can pray, we can bind and loose, and we can see the power of God move. It's an excited time because it's a pouring out of God's love and God's grace toward His people. And everyone joining us live stream today, I want you to know the love of God and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ is being released to you today. Praise God. It's a day to be filled with faith. It's a day to have great confidence. It's a day to trust God, to be assured that He's going to take care of you, and expect the presence of the Lord to minister to you. It's a great day. It's a great day for the unity of the Spirit in the body of Christ. We may not be together physically, but we are definitely together spiritually. And the presence of God is drawing us even tighter together in the mighty name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, we love you. We love every one of you. I'm glad that you are watching today. Let's go to the Word of God in 2 Chronicles chapter 7. Now, we've been teaching a series from God's Word that we have titled Praying It, or Praying It Forward, or Praying Forward. Praying is one of the most important things that we do as believers. In fact, in this season, I found myself praying more than I've ever prayed before. Now, that doesn't mean I didn't pray much before and now I'm praying a lot more. It means that God has stepped up the prayer time. God has stepped up even the length of time I spend in His presence and seeking His face. Because it's very important that we seek the face of the Lord. In fact, it's really important that we engage. See, praying is engaging the Holy Spirit. I want the Holy Spirit involved in what is happening in my life, in my family, in my children, and my grandchildren during this season. I want the power of God. So I want to engage the Spirit of the Lord as He moves in us, and as He moves in our world. Praying is one of the most important things we do as believers. Now, I want to talk to you this morning about the prayer call, or the praying call. out of 2 Chronicles chapter 7. I'm going to paraphrase some of the verses until we reach the verse that we want to focus on in our teaching this morning. Praise God. What's happened in 2 Chronicles chapter 7 is that King Solomon had just finished building the temple. The temple that was to house the presence of God, the Ark of the Covenant. It was to house all of the furniture from the Holy of Holies and the holy place and the outer court. It was to house literally the presence of the Lord. And Solomon, in dedication of that temple, while he is praying. Now, I want you to see this. While he is praying, fire comes down from heaven and consumes the offerings and the sacrifices that he is offering and the children of Israel are offering unto the Lord. And suddenly, the Bible tells us that the glory of the Lord filled the house. I sense that same glory of the Lord filling this house today, and I know that you sense him filling your house today. The Bible says that Israel, all the children of Israel, saw the glory of the Lord fill the house. And the Bible says they fell on their faces to the ground on the pavement, and there they worshiped and praised God. The Bible says they praised the Lord and kept the feasts for 7 days. 7 is the number of completion. For 7 days, they feasted and they praised the name of the Lord. In verse number 12, the Bible says that the Lord appeared to Solomon by night. And he said to him, I have heard your prayer, and I have chosen this place for myself as a house of sacrifice. Now remember, they were sacrificing prayer. They were sacrificing to the Lord. They were sacrificing praise. And the Lord answered him and said, I've chosen this house. Now, I want you to know this morning, the Lord's chosen you as the house of God. But he's chosen to put his glory also in your house. He's chosen Freedom Church. I mean, this house, when I walked in here this morning, the glory of the Lord was all over this sanctuary, and he has not left because God has chosen this house. And if you're a part of this body, a part of Freedom Church, God's chosen you in this house to be a part. In verse 14, then, the Bible tells us that God calls them then to continual prayer. Here's the calling that God's calling to the church, to you, to me. He's calling the church to praying. And this is what he says in verse 14. He said, if my people who are called by my name. Now, I want you to see this. This is very important because it has to do with our identity. It has to do with who we are in Christ Jesus. He said, if my people who are called by my name. Now, here's something important. I want heaven to know my name. I want heaven, when I call upon the name of the Lord, I want heaven to know my name. And the Bible says, if my people who are called by my name, that's part of your identity. I want heaven to know my name, but I want hell to know my name. Because heaven will answer and hell will tremble when I call on the name of the Lord my God. It is the same with you. There's the calling to prayer. Now, watch this. He said, if my people who are called by my name. Now, his name has to do with his authority, his character, his rulership. In Hebrew, it's the idea of position, far above everything else. It's rulership, it's governing, it's character, his nature, his attributes. Now watch. If my people who are called by my name. So our identity in Jesus, our identity in the Father is this, that we have his authority, we have his character, we have his nature, we have his attributes. And if we would call on the name of the Lord, the Bible says there are some powerful things that'll happen. Now, I'm thankful that heaven knows my name and heaven trembles when I pray and when you pray. And when we as a Freedom family begin to pray together corporately, then hell is scared. The devil has to run. The powers of the enemy have to go. Sickness has to leave. Come on, hallelujah. The Bible is full of answered prayers from prayers who seek the face of God. So here it is. If in our identity, somebody say identity. In my identity, I humble myself. Now watch this. He said, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves. Humble themselves. Now look at the progression of this power. If my people will humble themselves. In other words, move from selfishness to selflessness. I want you to understand what's going on in the world today and the life that we're all living, which is different than anything we have ever known. I want you to understand something, that in this season of life right now, that pride has to bend its knee to the power of Almighty God. Pride, I was meditating on this, and the Holy Spirit dropped this into my heart, and he said, what you did for yourself, you can no longer do. You need the power of God to do it for you. You cannot rely on your own abilities in this season and expect to overcome, but rather, pride has to be broken. Pride has to bow its knee. Pride has to yield and subject itself to the authority of Almighty God. But he said, look, he said, if my people who have my identity will humble themselves, will submit themselves, will yield themselves to the Spirit of Almighty God, and although things are not as normal as you are used to, although they seem to be out of place and just seems to be nothing to do, and your life's disciplines have totally changed, that if you will humble yourself before the Lord and pray, the miraculous will begin to operate in a greater way in your life. Now, this is very important, praying. We're talking about praying forward and the call of the Father to pray. So he says, number one, humble yourself. So secondly, then he says to pray. Now, praying in the Hebrew here is very powerful. And it has to do with interceding on behalf of someone else. I'm sure every one of us know somebody that needs intercession right now. Maybe you need it yourself. Maybe you need someone to intercede or to plead heaven on your behalf. It also means to entreat or to earnestly seek God. It means to supplicate or to kneel down and to ask the Lord. If we really take a look at it, in our lives prior to this season, humanity was so busy, and we were so busy, so many things to do, so many things to accomplish, so many things that we didn't even have time to seek the Lord. We didn't have time to pray. But God's calling us, because in this season, we've got more time on our hands than we've ever had. And the greatest thing that we can do as the body of Christ is to seek the face of God, to pray with all of our might, to intercede, to entreat, and to supplicate that in this season, God will pour out his Spirit on all flesh. We've got more time now. I mean, I come to my office, and because we can't meet regularly with large crowds, but small groups of praying together and such, I have found I've got more time to worship the Lord. I've got more time to call on the name of the Lord. I've got more time to pray for my family. I've got more time to pray for revival in this city. I've got more time. You've got more time. It's ours. It's there. Automatically, we've got time to seek the Lord. There's no excuse. This is a no-excuse season. We can't say to the Lord, I'm too busy, because there's nothing to do but to work and go home. There's nothing, I mean, there's no sports to watch. There's nothing going on. Television has nothing to offer unless it's some good gospel programming. And we have time. But it's the time also to resist the devil, because it's in this time where we have more time on our hands that the enemy will attack you and try to trip you and try and lie to you attack you in this same time. But what we're to do is to resist the devil. He'll want you to fear. He'll want you to live in unbelief. He wants you to operate in anxiety and be afraid of what's going on in the world. This is a good time to rest in the Lord and to pray and to intercede and call out to Him and say, God, You are my God. You're my God. I'm going to seek You. I'm going to call upon Your name. My identity is authority and power and dominion. Father, I'm calling on Your name. Hallelujah. Amen. Take the time. It's a good time to be with family. It's a good time to get reacquainted. It's a good time to love on one another. I saw this post on Facebook, and it said it was the third day of no sports, and there was a woman sitting by him on the couch that he happened to recognize. It happened to be his wife, and hadn't noticed her before because of watching sports all the time. And he looked at her and said, you're real nice. It's a good time to get reacquainted, all right, with family. But it's a good time to pray more, praying into our future. See, we need to pray into tomorrow. We need to pray into tomorrow. We need to pray that this virus stops in the name of Jesus. We need to pray that restrictions are lifted in the name of Jesus. Come on. Amen. Then he said something powerful. He said, if you will pray and seek my face. If those who I have my identity will seek my face. In other words, to search out in worship and in praying. To seek is to strive after and to desire God in relationship. If you'll call on the Lord, He'll become closer to you than you have ever known Him, because there's an anointing in the earth. There is a release of the glory of God in the earth stronger than I have experienced in my lifetime. The glory of the Lord is in the earth. He said, if you'll seek God's face, don't look at His hand, look at His face. See, we get busy. God, where's my next meal going to come from? How am I going to pay the bills? How am I going to find toilet paper next time I go to the store? Lord, lead me to the right place that actually has toilet paper. How am I going to... But He's saying, look, don't look at my hand. You seek my face during this time. Behold my glory. Behold my presence. I'll take care of you. I'll lead you. I'll guide you. You live by the Spirit. You walk by the Spirit of God. I'll take care of you. Somebody in your house, shout glory. Amen. Go ahead and talk to the screen. Amen. Then he said, if we'll humble, if we'll pray, if we'll seek, and then those who identify with him, he said, if we'll turn. It's real important that we turn. The Hebrew root word of turn is to turn back again, or to return to the starting point, or to retreat back toward the Lord. In other words, he's saying, somewhere we got off focus. We got our focus off on the wrong thing, and we need to get refocused on the things of the Spirit of God. Turn back, return, go back to the starting point. I've heard people say, I don't know what to do during this season. I don't know where to turn. I don't know who to turn to. And I've got news for you. People are coming to other believers. People who don't know Jesus are coming running to the church. We've had several stop by our offices this week saying, I don't know where to turn. I need help. They weren't saying, I need help in the natural. They're saying, I need help spiritually. They didn't know where to turn. But the Bible says, if we'll turn, if we'll return, if we'll go to the starting point, if you'll choose Him only, choose Him only. There's a new focus, a refocus. If we'll confess our sin and failure and turn, if we'll choose. But then he said, if you'll turn from your wicked way. Wicked in the Hebrew simply means from your grief, from your misery, from your trouble, from sorrow, from mischief, from wretchedness, from wrong. In other words, change. Change from the old way that didn't work anyway. Change. Change. Somebody say choose. Change. Change. Now here's something really powerful. Because the Lord says, his promise is, he said, then I will hear from heaven. Now this is interesting. Because the Hebrew says, it's the Hebrew word shema. And it means to listen and to understand or attend to certainly. So in other words, the Lord said, I'm going to hear out of heaven. He's going to hear out of heaven, listen and attend, because he's the God who answers by fire. He's the God who answered Elijah by fire. He's the God who answered on Pentecost by fire. He's the God who answers with anointing. He's the God who answers with deliverance. He's the God who answers. So he said, I'm going to hear. You can take it to the bank. You can count on this better than the bank. God said, I hear. I hear you. I know what's going on. I answer. And here's how he answers. He said, I'll forgive. You got to understand that forgiveness will release a lot of things into your life. The first thing he does is he forgives, he pardons, he releases from bondage, he gives up desire to punish, he overlooks an offense, he forgives. But then the Bible says he heals. He heals. He's the God who heals. We've got to understand that our land needs healing. Our land needs healing right now. Our government needs healing. Our senators and our congressmen need healing. There are people in this country and nation who need healing. His healing, he said, I will heal, I will mend, I will cure, I will make whole, because I am Jehovah Rapha. I'll restore and I will renew. Hallelujah. He said, I'll hear from heaven. That's already a given. He said he would hear from heaven. I want you to understand something very powerful in our praying. Because in our praying and our seeking and our turning, it causes God to release his character. When his people who are identified in his character and nature and in his authority seek and pray and call upon the name of the Lord, out of his position of rulership, he manifests himself in the earth. And what he does is releases and removes fear and anxiety and timidity and uncertainty. He manifests himself, his presence and his glory. He said, if my people, are you his? Are you identified with him? Are you a child of God? If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked way, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive and I will heal the land. His promise is this in 2 Chronicles 7, verse 15. He said, then my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to prayer made in this place. Why? Because we've identified. I'm a child of God. He will identify with your house, and his eyes and ears will be attentive to the prayer made in your house. In fact, the Bible says you are the temple of the living God and the house of the living God, and he will hear the prayer. Verse 16, he goes on to say, for now I have chosen and sanctified this house, and my name, his authority, his nature, his character, his dominion, his power will be there, he said, forever, and my eyes and my heart will be there perpetually. See, humble praying continually brings and releases the glory of the Lord, continually. Because perpetually means to the whole, from sunrise to sunset. In other words, the essence is about eternity. See, every generation can live in the divine authority and victory of the Heavenly Father. But everyone must submit and yield to the name. I want you to know you carry the name. If you're a born-again believer, you are identifying with the name. Now, Philippians 2:9 says it this way, God has exalted him and given him the name. It's not a name. God didn't give Jesus a name. He gave Jesus the name that is above every name. The name with which we identify. If my people who are called by my name, I identify with that name because it's a keeping name, a saving name, a powerful name, and it's the only name that's above every name. The Bible goes on to say that this name, the name, which is above every name, the authority, the character, that's beyond, superior, more than, and exceeding every other name that's identified in the world. Now, can I tell you something this morning? Coronavirus is a name. The flu is a name. Poverty is a name. Sickness is a name. Disease is a name. Defeat is a name. Failure is a name. And the name of Jesus is above and beyond and superior, more than, highly, exceedingly, and surpassing every other name. Come on, praise him. Every name. And you've identified, because you're the children of God, you have identified with that name. You've been called by that name. The name that's above every name. Here's why. That at the name of Jesus, every tongue should bow, of those in heaven and those on the earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord, to the glory of God the Father. I've got great news for you. You're identifying with the name. If my people who are called by my name, the character of his name, bow to his name, have the authority of heaven and every other name. Listen, here's the good news. The devil's not in charge. The devil thinks, the enemy thinks he's brought the world to its knees. But I've got great news for you, because the Spirit of the Lord is rising up and God is going to bring the enemy to his knees. In fact, the Bible says he will soon crush Satan underneath your feet. Your feet. He's under our feet. The last thing I want to share with you today is from Numbers chapter 16, beginning with verse 41 through 47. It is a powerful story about the authority of heaven and intercession. Moses and Aaron are leading the children of Israel. Because the children, in this story, the children of Israel had murmured against Moses and Aaron. And in that murmuring, in that attack of fear and doubt and unbelief, how many of you know that's what the enemy does? That's what the devil does. He murmurs. He says, no, God's not going to do it. God's not working. You're not feeling anything. The Spirit of God's not touching you. I want you to know the devil is a liar. And in the middle of that murmuring, Moses and Aaron turned toward the tabernacle of meeting. The tabernacle of meeting was a tent. It was a place, a large tent, surrounded by a large linen fence where the Holy of Holies was, the outer court, the inner court, and the Holy of Holies. That was the place that Aaron and Moses would go to meet with God, and God would manifest himself. And the Bible says that in the midst of all of the attack, they turned toward the tabernacle of meeting, and suddenly a cloud came over the tabernacle, and the glory of the Lord appeared. Just like what happened when Solomon was dedicating the temple and a cloud came and fire came and the glory came upon the temple of God. I want you to know something. The glory of the Lord and the fire of God is in this house right now. The Bible says when they turned and saw this, in verse 44, God said, I want you to get away from the tent of those that have murmured against you. Get away from their tent because I'm going to destroy them. Move away. Get to the tabernacle. Get to the place of fellowship and worship. And the Bible says that Moses and Aaron fell on their faces instead, praying and interceding on behalf of the people. What happened was that as they were praying and interceding, a plague had already come on the children of Israel because of their rebellion. Now watch this. But in verse 46, Moses and Aaron went to the temple of God, and Moses said to Aaron, take a censer. A censer was like a lantern type thing. And he said, put fire in it from the altar of God, and then put incense in it. Incense represented worship. So he said, take the fire or the Holy Spirit or the glory of God from the altar. Now watch this. This is powerful. And place, in other words, take the fire from the place of seeking. Take the fire from the place of sacrifice. Take the fire from the place where you cry out unto God. And he said, put incense in it. Incense is praise and worship. So he said, in your praying, take the fire and take the worship. Take the fire and take the worship. And when you take the fire in the worship, I want you to go stand among the people. The plague had already attacked those that were rebelling, and 14,700 people had already died from the plague. Now listen to me this morning, because there are people dying from plagues in our world. But God has called us. He said, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and go to the altar and take the fire from off of the altar and take the incense of the worship and go stand in the middle of the living and the dead. He sent Aaron to stand in the middle of the living and the dead. And the Bible says the moment he did with the fire and the incense, the plague was stopped. Come on, praise him. It was stopped. Listen to me, church believers. Listen closely to the word of God. We are called by his name. We have the identity of the Heavenly Father. We carry the authority of the nature of Almighty God. It's up to us to go to the fire of the altar and take the fire of God and the incense of worship and stand between the living and the dead with our authority and say, it's enough. It's enough in the name of Jesus. Take your hand off my family. Take your hand off my kids. Take your hand off of this nation in the mighty name of the Lord and stand between the living and dead with the fire of God. And the Bible said the plague of the enemy will be stopped. Come on, praise him. Praise him. So he did. He stood with the fire and the worship, and the devil was defeated. Now watch this. After the devil was defeated, Aaron returned to the tabernacle, to the presence, to the house of God. I prophetically say to you, when this whole lockdown thing is done, the house of the Lord is going to be filled with people who are coming to Jesus, who want to know him, who need to know him, who need to know his fire, who need to know his glory, and they'll be coming back to the tabernacle, to the house, to worship in spirit and in truth. Hallelujah. I want you in your homes right now and in this sanctuary with the few that we have here to lift your hands together right now. We're going to pray. We're coming to the altar of God. We're coming to the place of fire. We're going to take the fire and the worship, and we're going to declare the name of the Lord, and the enemy has to be stopped. He has to stop in the name of Jesus. He is a defeated foe. Lift your hands wherever you are, seated or even standing. I invite you to stand in your house and pray over your house and declare the victory of the Lord over your house in the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, I declare right now that we are the called of the Lord. We identify with you. We are called by your name. We are called into your authority. We are called into your nature and character and power and dominion. We're called into the name that's above every name. And right now, Father, as the glory filled the temple Solomon built, the cloud of the Lord came, and the glory of the Lord filled the house, and the fire overshadowed, and they all saw it. Father, right now I call on the fire of the Lord to fill every heart. I call upon the fire of the Lord to touch every life, every house, every home in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, I speak over my own house where my wife is watching right now, this live stream. I pray over the house of my children where my daughter-in-law and my granddaughters are watching. Father, I call over every house by live stream today the name that's above every name. In Jesus' name I call. Hallelujah. Fire of God come. Worship come to that house in the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.